Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Did you get anything new when you were getting ready to go to school this fall, when you just started the new... Joshua, what did you get? Pens and pencils? How about you, Damien? Did you get anything new to go to school? No? New clothes? New shoes? New clothes? A backpack. A whole new backpack? All right. What did you get, Lily?
A new backpack and some new clothes.
Okay, good. What did you get? Yeah, you use it so much. They wear out in a year, don't they? What did you get?
I got new pencils. I got new markers. I got new paper. I got new pens.
Okay, so you got a lot of stuff.
How
about you, Madeline?
I got new clothes.
Okay. Do you know that there are places in the world, not in San Diego, but there are places in the world where if children don't have new pencils and paper, they can't go to school. They won't let them go to school unless they have paper and pencils and unless they have shoes. And in these places, the children are very poor, and the families can't just write a check or pull out a credit card. They don't have any money to buy these things, so the children don't get to go to school. That's not very fair, is it? That children don't get to go to school because
they
get homeschooled, except for their parents never went to school either, so they don't know how to teach them. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to write. And these children are just left at home without being able to go to school, unless they have paper and pencils and other things that you need for school. So you know what we do in San Diego and in our church? We, a couple times a year, we ask families, oh, did any of you come to VBS, Vacation Bible School, and did you bring school supplies? All those school supplies have been packed into a kit, into a backpack for children that don't have anything. And that's what's in these boxes. These boxes are full of backpacks filled with school supplies. And a couple of these boxes are filled with, what's it say on that one? Quilts. It says quilts. And there are quilts in that box and in a couple of these other boxes. So there's quilts and backpacks. I'm going to read this prayer. The materials, okay, just a minute, Penny. The materials we dedicate today are representative of the many items which you, as members of this church, have donated and put together over the last year. We commend especially the church mice, who so faithfully have met together to make the beautiful quilts and to gather items to assemble these kits. We thank you for their devoted service. We pray that they will continue to use their talents to create beautiful messages of love to the people in the world who may be desperately seeking God's word of grace and comfort. Renew our Christian promise to help those in need, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and outcast, welcome the stranger, and be a loving neighbor to all the people on the earth. Children, I'd like you to put your hands on these boxes, and I'm going to say the prayer. You're going to bless them. Put your hand on these boxes. Okay. Let us pray. Bless these quilts that all who may receive them experience the covering of your love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we pray a blessing for these school kits. Gracious Lord, you have taught us your truth. through your son, Jesus Christ. Bless these school kits, wherever they may be sent, that those who use them may grow in knowledge and in skill. As they receive their education, make it possible for these students to build talents for themselves and for their families, that they may help to be supported. Give them a sense of your will in our lives as they continue to learn of your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And children, the prayer ended saying that your education can help you grow in knowing of God's love for you. So now you're going to go off to Sunday school and learn of God's love for you. Go off.
A reading from Genesis. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And then there he blessed him, and Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be
to God. Let us pray Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My
help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold,
the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. It is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks
be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet
because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So, would you consider yourself a patient person?
No.
Most people say a very quick no to that, and very quick. You know, we get irked when the speed of our internet isn't fast enough, or when there's a line at the drive-through for our fast food. We want everything right now. And if that new diet doesn't produce noticeable results in the first week, we're off to find another quick fix. We want things done now, fast, right. Patience and perseverance don't usually rank very high on our list of values in society or in religion. And yet, we know how important these virtues are. We know that we won't get very far in life without perseverance and patience. Every time I perform a witness a marriage, I'm struck by the words in the vows. It says, in good times and in bad. It doesn't say or. It says in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad. And I pray always that this couple will grow in perseverance and in patience together. You know, if we hope to become accomplished in music or in sports or in any other profession, we know that if we don't hang in there and really keep practicing, we'll never achieve our goals. All of the readings today are about perseverance. Jacob wrestling with God all through the night and not giving up. And the psalm, that beautiful psalm, I think that's the second most favorite psalm, 121, after the Good Shepherd psalm. To whom shall I pray? I lift my eyes to the mountains. God is always there, calling for perseverance in whatever the situation. And then the letter writer to Timothy says to Timothy, don't give up proclaiming the word. Keep doing it. Keep working on it all the time. And then the woman in the gospel, the widow, who's going to the judge, who amplifies perseverance, who calls for justice. Maybe we can find a lesson here. So Jesus tells a story. There's a judge. He's not a decent man. And he doesn't seem to have a conscience. He's a corrupt official. And he's interested only in his own advantage. And here comes this poor widow. She doesn't have money for a bribe. She doesn't know influential people to go and plead her cause. She only has perseverance and a great desire for justice. Grant me justice against my opponent, she cries. And she doesn't back down. She keeps going to the judge and demanding, grant me justice against my opponent. She's the woman that's sitting on the floor right in front of his office door that he has to step over, and she says every morning, grant me justice. And of course, the judge grows tired of this. If we looked at the Greek translation here for this passage, the judge compares that in-your-face attitude of the widow with getting a black eye. So he says, you're giving me a black eye. So he grants her justice just to get rid of him, rid of her. Jesus tells us a story. Did he want us to think that this is like God beg long enough and you'll get your answer? I don't think so. That's not the character of God. It's not the character of God that we know in Jesus. Our God is the author of justice and compassion. Our God cares about us and about our situations and listens to our cries for justice. With this parable, Jesus is encouraging us to be patient and perseverant in our prayers and to not lose heart. But it's not because God is hard-hearted or uncaring. Jesus, in telling this parable, is inviting us to imagine two things. First, that someone like this widow, one of the most vulnerable persons in the biblical world, that someone like this widow, even like this, could make a difference by petitioning for just behavior. And second, that when we do the petitioning, God will listen. That God will listen to our persistent cries. That's the promise that we have in Jesus. That's why he tells this parable. Something to pay attention to when you're reading the parables, not just this parable, but any of the parables, one of the things that you pay attention to is whenever there is repetition. And when there's repetition in a parable, you know, ah, that's something that's important. And in this parable, we have two examples of that. The first is about the personality description of the judge as one who neither feared God nor had respect for people. Jesus says this when he describes the judge at the opening of the parable. And then the judge acknowledges this of himself. He says the same thing when he's thinking out loud to him about himself and about how he's going to deal with this irksome woman. And because that phrase is repeated twice, we should pay attention to it. Luke is giving us a definition of justice. He says this guy is unjust. So what makes him unjust? He doesn't respect God. And he doesn't respect people. Luke is telling us that justice is respecting God and respecting other people. So simply put, for Luke, the root of all justice is to demonstrate your respect for God by respecting those around you. Now, this isn't a new teaching. Earlier in the gospel, we hear the story that Jesus has an encounter with the rich young man who says to him, what can I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is justice? How can I live a just life? And Jesus says, well, what do you think? And the young man says, well, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. That encounter between Jesus and the rich young man leads into the story that we call the Good Samaritan, the story where it's very clear what it means to be justice living, to live in a way that we act the neighbor. Another thing I like about parables is the way that Jesus uses these stories to teach us. He simply breaks open the truth and invites us in. He invites us to find our own truth in living and our own ways of acting in that truth. We could probably come up with as many definitions or examples of justice living as there are people in this room today. But we probably all agree that Jesus calls us to welcome the neighbor. But we may disagree with the best way to do that. We might all agree that Jesus calls us to care for creation. But we might have very different ideas about how to do that. We probably all agree that Jesus calls us to care for the poor. But we might disagree about the best ways that we should do that. as individuals and as a congregation. Jesus doesn't tell us exactly how to act in justice. He simply opens the truth and invites us in, invites us to be part of that truth in our own lives, our own justice living. The beginning of justice, according to Jesus, is when we show our respect to God by respecting those around us, by granting them dignity, by being willing to view them as fellow children of God who are worthy of our respect and our fair treatment. There's another repeated phrase in this parable that we need to pay attention to. And this one's about the widow. It's not an exact repetition like with the judge, but it is stated first by Jesus and then repeated by the judge when they talk about this widow who keeps on coming, who continues, who's persistent, who is always there demanding justice. This is the truth that Jesus breaks open for us. You know, we have a duty to treat others with respect. But not only is that our duty, but we have a duty as well to ask others to do the same. You know, locker room talk doesn't need to be tolerated ever, in the locker room or anywhere else. Derogatory comments, demeaning remarks, racial slurs must be called out for what they are. Lies and half-truths are not to be glossed over. Now, I'm not trying to be politically correct or super sensitive. According to Jesus, it's simply about acting in justice. Though our own examples of how we live justice, it all comes down to showing respect for others and for us to say, and this is the norm. This is what we demand. This is how we want to characterize our families, our congregation, our nation. We demand justice. And what is justice? Justice. Respecting God and respecting our neighbors. You know, this is a great Sunday to lift up Bread for the World, that you found an envelope in your bulletin, and I think there is an article. Is there an article?
Yes.
And in there as well. Talk about persistence. Bread for the World was started about 45 years ago by a Lutheran pastor in New York City. Reverend Art Simon noticed in New York how many hungry, homeless people there were. And he gathered together other church leaders, Roman Catholics and Presbyterians particularly, along with the Lutherans, and he said, we've got to do something. And they realized that there's a difference between actually handing out food to those hungry people, which they had been doing, and it didn't seem that the problem of hunger is being solved. They said, we need to address this systemically. So they organized and decided that as a group, they would go to Washington, D.C. and talk to the elected officials, the people who make the policies, who vote on those kinds of issues, and lobby those elected officials on issues of worldwide hunger as well as national hunger, persistently demanding justice for the hungry in the United States and across the globe. We join their efforts in our prayer. We join their efforts as we study and learn about the issues around homelessness and hunger. And through our volunteer work, through our contributions, not only this kind of contribution that goes across the world, but our contribution of a bag of groceries that we take down the street, our contributions to Taco that we take downtown. Those kinds of things are also helping and pushing forward the demand for justice for the hungry, for the homeless, and also for voting for policies that will bring an end to the causes of hunger and homelessness. And so we raise our voices in demanding justice. We proclaim the good news of God's abundance. We don't just sit and wring our hands and say, isn't it too bad that there are so many hungry people in the world? But we put our hands together in prayer and we put our hands together in work to try to find the cause of hunger and homelessness. And we demand justice from our elected officials and pray that their hearts might be moved to join the work of justice and compassion for all of God's children. And what is justice that we are demanding? Respect for God and respect for one another. Amen.